Hello and welcome to this TCS podcast. My name is Mark Kobayashi Hillary. In this podcast, I'm talking with Dr. Richard Sykes. Dr. Richard Sykes is the chair of the Outsourcing and Offshoring Group at Intellect, the UK's high-tech trade association, and he's got a long and distinguished career, formerly as chairman of Morgan Chambers, the advisory service, and before that, he was the CIO at well-known chemical company ICI. Okay, so we're talking about innovation for the innovation podcast. Could you maybe throw some light on a couple of points around innovation? I mean, most people that work within the outsourcing industry often say that you can gain innovation by outsourcing and working with partner companies. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that purchase services that are quite frustrated and are saying that they've just been frustrated by contracts and reams of paperwork, and they haven't actually found anything very innovative in the arrangement. So what would you say to those critics?
I think the root of the problem lies in the long-established vision given by the IT industry, that innovation is something that the IT industry brings to its clients. And in a way, that's a natural assumption, because the IT industry has been such a source of innovative new technology that you might expect innovation as something that they would bring to the client. In reality, when you begin to think about it, you have to begin asking what the innovation is about and what the innovation is for. If you're talking about innovation that is very much to do with how a business does its business, how, for example, a retailer can be an even more competitive retailer in some specialist corner of the market, the real source of understanding of what innovation is going to work and deliver a competitive edge and what innovation isn't going to work is actually the client. It's not the supplier. And you therefore want to have outsourcing deals, outsourcing relationships, working partnerships that are focused on a reality that says, I as a supplier may be very innovative in understanding how to make the technology work, but you as the client, as an expert retailer in your specialist corner marketplace, probably understand far more what kind of innovation is going to deliver benefit to you. So we want a relationship in which you as the client help me understand what kind of innovation I need to help you do. Now, not very many outsourcing deals are structured around that principle, because what you then need is outsourcing deals that recognize that the client is going to be in the lead, recognize that you need mechanisms in which the client and supplier can collaborate to identify where there are new business opportunities. Flexible arrangements, because it might well be that some of the innovation, the change is going to be heavily with the client and the innovation is technology coming out of the supplier. In other situations, it might be that a lot of the innovation is actually in the hands of the customer, and the change and the cost of change maybe sits more with the supplier. And therefore, you have to have partnership arrangements that recognize who's going to contribute what, where the benefits are going to flow, and how you're going to share the arrangements. That's very much about partnership structures that are end market oriented, that are not about arm's length adversarial relationships negotiated in the heat of getting the lowest price and the lowest cost, but partnership arrangements which are about, we're going to do a joint venture here almost, and create some value adding together. Contrast that to maybe quite commoditized services. You may be relying on a telecoms company or a desktop service company to provide you a very standardized service that is very generic, used across the industry. And there you could be saying to your supplier, this is an absolutely standardized generic service. I rely on you to be very innovative in how you deliver it, how you make it work, so that your cost structure continually gets more and more competitive. And because I'm just buying an arm's length generic service from you, a standardized desktop, a standardized email service, a standardized payroll system. I'm not going to be terribly interested in what innovation or how you innovate. I just want to see the results in a very much more competitive service year by year, you know, cutting the cost of the service, increasing its responsiveness by a significant margin year by year by year. So those are two very different areas of innovation. They also talk about two very different kinds of companies, because in the second example, you're talking about probably a fairly big company that's capable of delivering very commoditized services. And perhaps in the world of emails, the ultimate is someone like a Google Mail with 250 million customers, highly commoditized, highly standardized, and very, very low cost of operation, to the point that it's almost for free, providing you get carry the advertising that comes along with it. In the other one, the first example I gave you, you're very much more talking about a more specialized company that can become a very natural business partner, because if you are a advanced retailer with real market position in some corner of the retail industry, you want a partner who themselves is very knowledgeable, deeply embedded, deeply intimate with the retail industry, really understands retailing as well as you do. And that is more likely than not a more medium-sized player, a smaller player perhaps, one of perhaps a whole ecosystem of smaller, medium-sized players who have deep expertise in particular corners of your marketplace, who you want to draw into partnership with you. So one begins getting a picture of innovation that is very much more defined by the nature of the service you're using. Is it a highly commoditized, standardized service like a Google Gmail? Is it a very specialized service, very much to do with your corner of retail, for example? And a great diversity of the type of companies, i.e. is it a big commoditized supplier like the Google Empire, or is it a very small specialized company that really understands your corner of retail requirements? And the idea, therefore, of working with an ecosystem of companies that you want to draw on, rather than just one big player who does it all for you, becomes very much more key to understanding how you do multiple sourcing effectively. That in its turn brings another aspect of innovation, which is how do you begin structuring an effective way of doing outsourcing with a multiple series of suppliers, maybe big commoditized suppliers in a portfolio along with smaller, more specialized suppliers. And that then begins to raise the challenge of innovation in how outsourcing is done, how it is managed, how you service integrate it, because you've got to integrate these different services and make them work together. I'm beginning to see companies coming into this space who are beginning to define new ways of approaching outsourcing. I think it's probably fair to say that the classic 1990s model of going to one big player who did it all for you is now no longer regarded as genuinely viable. We seem to be in an interim stage where some of the big players are trying to act as umbrellas to bring a lot of the smaller players into play under their guidance, kind of saying, well, we will have collaboration with this and this kind of company to give you more specialized services. The danger of that model, and where it's potentially weak, is that the front relationship with you as a client tends to be still dominated by the big player, who maybe doesn't have the intimacy and knowledge of your particular corner of the marketplace, rather than what would be a more natural model, but a more difficult one to make it work, which is that the smaller player should be up front, who really understands your corner of the business, can work closely with you, and that smaller player should be, if you like, guiding, pulling the puppet strings of the big player who's providing the underlying commoditized services. That's not a model that sits easily with the big players, but probably as a model, if you can make it work, is very much more innovative and potentially ensures that you begin getting the responsiveness and ability to innovate the service you get more rapidly, which is important to you. So innovation in how outsourcing is doing, how we structure it, and the kind of players, intermediaries who can help put together more radical forms of new outsourcing structures, I think is going to be the next major area of innovation in the industry.
Okay, so I mean, looking at that model that you just described then, would you feel that it would become perhaps more normal in the marketplace for a large systems integrator to no longer be fronting a deal within some very specialized business area? It might be a collaboration partner that they've got that fronts that entire deal and then outsources to the IT SI player.
I think that begins to emerge as the more sensible way forward. In the way that the industry sees itself at the moment, especially the way the big players see themselves, in a way it's almost counterintuitive, because the big players will position themselves as having all the skills necessary to put it all together for you. The dilemma is that if you have a more specialist area of the economy that's very, very important to your business model, you've got to be able to flex and move quite fast with the way that corner of the economy grows and develops. It's very difficult to build a sourcing deal with a big service integrator or a big systems integrator that is flexible enough to respond to all the ins and outs of the way that corner of the marketplace may shift and change. Whereas a small or medium-sized player whose business specialty is working in that corner of the marketplace where you are positioned is more likely to be able to move fast and change and shift and reshape themselves as that marketplace grows and develops, because they're an integral part of that marketplace as well. And I think this is the root of the difficult understanding for the big players. So the big players, I think, by their nature, are going to be influenced towards becoming really expert at delivering and integrating, where necessary, the big commoditized generic services, infrastructural stuff, basic big volume transactional stuff that's needed. Whereas the people who you begin building your prime sourcing relationship with are the more medium-sized specialized players who have a real understanding of your corner of the industry and the working place. It says for the big boys that they probably need to make a decision whether they are going to become and focus their business models on becoming expert, very cost competitive, high customer service deliverers of big commoditized infrastructural transactional services, or are they going to take a limited number of verticals where they may already be deeply embedded and focus on becoming very, very expert players in those verticals? What I'm almost certain of is that it's going to be very difficult to build a business model in which you try to do both things, because to be simultaneously a very good business partner in some specialized area of retailing and to be a very good commoditized supplier of emails, HR systems and payroll is too much of a stretch for a company to really put all under one heading. Every other industry has shown the benefits of focus and specialization. So you either become the bee's knees of commoditization in particular areas so no one else can match your responsiveness and cost base, or you become the very expert player in particular sectors of the economy where no one else can match your deep intimacy with how that sector of the economy works, and you make a decision to be the one or the other, but rarely the both.
Mm-hmm. It's quite different to the picture of the 1990s, as you suggested, and I guess it's also different slightly to the present discussion that the analysts keep referring to, multi-sourcing, where you again, even that sort of discussion is the client retains a small pool of suppliers and then expects them to at least communicate with each other. So I suppose what you would need is some form of broker or network that can actually connect together a group of collaborative partners. So are these brokers yet to come, or would a major name that we know already perhaps come to the fore?
I think we're at a point where all bets are off and the opportunities are very strong. For one of the big players to rewrite their business model so that they actually focus on becoming a highly flexible, highly responsive systems and service integrator, and if you like, sheds the rest of the distractions so that that becomes their prime business model, is quite a change for any one of the majors to do. Also, the business models of the majors are still very significantly at their core based on their ability to mobilize large numbers of people and get a real good margin for each of those people. And therefore, they tend to be business models which favor having more and more people under their wing and finding work for all of them. Whereas I think the environment that I'm describing to you says, at one end, in the commoditized end, your focus is to probably do more and more with fewer and fewer people. And those few people are people who are very expert in getting very high productivity out of assets that are delivering the services, how to run a server farm or telecoms network to very, very high efficiency. And those then are the kind of businesses that don't necessarily sit in a part of the world where you're accessing resource that may be somewhat cheaper than another part of the world, because your human cost becomes really a very small part of the business. It's what you're getting that human cost to do. You could get companies that have very deep knowledge and expertise in a particular sector of the economy, such as maybe aspects of the auto industry, or as I said, the retail industry, that will develop the ability to become very strong, responsive service systems integrator for that corner of the economy, and they would then draw around them an ecosystem of the partners and collaborators they need, and some relationships with some really big volume commodity suppliers for the underlying infrastructure and transactional stuff that's needed as well. Or you could get a new generation of intermediaries who would be very adept, if you like, at assembling that ecosystem, because maybe like a small, fast-moving Accenture, they have very good, detailed consultancy knowledge in a particular sector of the economy or sectors of the economy, a very good network of small to medium-sized players who they can knit together in a fast and responsive delivery mode. And they make their living by taking a stake in the success of the new sourcing arrangement, because it can deliver faster business change, more productive business change. But they are always a third party sitting to one side, rather than a classic outsourcing company sitting in the middle of the game. I'm beginning to see, I'm not going to name names at this stage, but I'm beginning to see people experimenting with that third model. I believe that some of the big boys believe that they can make the first model work, but I have my doubts. And there are a lot of examples of the second model work, i.e. people who are medium-sized, detail experts in particular sectors of the economy, taking a lead in service integration for companies in that area of the economy.
Okay, great. Richard, thank you very much. Thanks for downloading this TCS podcast. For more information about TCS, go to www.tcs.com. Thanks for listening.